Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're going to be diving back into best leads for creative financing deals. Jeff, what did we talk about on our last episode?
So we've done a few different ones. We've done a no equity or low equity kind of deal. We've done one that has equity. We did one with free and clear. And then we did one that was a pre-foreclosure. So today we're going to talk about more of the higher end luxury home and why it would be worthwhile to try to get involved in some of these.
Sweet. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to give an example and let's go through this and then I'll show you why you really want to try to work on some of these kinds of deals.
Okay. Okay.
All right, so let's take a property that's got an after repaired value of $1.5 million.
Okay.
Now, when when you're talking about these types of homes, it's really difficult to determine a true after repaired value.
Because, right.
I mean, they have a range. You know, there's not a ton of comps to compare them to. So it's very easy to say a property that's worth 1.5 could go for 1.2, 1.8. There's some variance there. So we want to be careful and try to identify at least within a respectable range what we think the value is. In this case, let's say they owe $900,000. They have a payment of $4,560, just principal and interest. Super high payment, right? So is that scaring you away right away?
No.
Okay, good. Let's say an interest rate at 4.5%. So these are typically going to be jumbo loans. So a little bit higher interest rate requires more money down if you went and got a conventional loan, anywhere from 10 to 25% based on the kind of lender that you're using.
Even as a owner-occupant?
Yeah, 10% is pretty much minimum.
Wow.
Yeah, I have seen some like special kinds of loans, but typically it's a minimum of 10 and it's usually 10 to 20 and I've seen some as high as 25.
Is that just because it's over $1 million?
No, it's because it's over the FHA loan limit, so it becomes what's called a jumbo loan.
Oh.
And
what's the FHA loan limit?
They range per county all across the country. So
I didn't even know any of this.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Okay.
So in a lower price range, FHA loan limits might be $300,000. And somewhere like R, and I don't know what it is right now, but I bet it's in the mid fours. So so if you were getting a $500,000+ loan here in Salt Lake City, you'd probably be in that jumbo loan category. So typically you're going to pay a little higher rate of interest and you're not getting away with 3.5% down kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So let's say that the taxes are $4,800 a year, and they've had the property on the market for $1.2 million, and it's not selling. Okay?
Okay.
So let's make this kind of simple, and let's say, hey, we're going to go offer them 1.1, which would be a good offer, right, if they've got it for 1.2 and it's not moving at all.
Yeah.
And let's offer them, let's say, a down payment of $80,000. Now, again, there's no exact amount to offer.
Uh-huh.
The lower, the better. But we also, this is, they've got about, at 1.1, they have $200,000 in equity, correct?
Yeah.
So we want to give them something. Maybe we could get away offering them $50,000, and that would be better. But in this case scenario, let's just offer them $80,000, okay? And the way we're going to structure this is that we're going to take over their loan. So we're going to wrap their loan, and we're just going to wrap that. So
On the existing terms,
correct.
That it is.
Yeah. So the 4.5%, the $900,000, the $4,560 a month principal and interest.
So we're not creating a new note.
We are creating a new note, but it's identical to underlying.
So it's just, I mean, it's just for recourse, though.
Yep. Then we're going to structure a second note for the seller's equity. So that would be about $120,000, right?
Okay.
So we're just going to, here, we're going to offer you 1.1. We're going to give you $80,000 down. We're going to give you a note for the same amount that you owe. Uh-huh. And then we're going to give you a second, in second position.
For your equity.
For your equity. Now, are they really concerned about being in second position in this case?
Probably not.
Well, that's where their equity is already, right?
That's
very
true.
It is behind that first mortgage, so
yeah.
it's not that big of a deal, right? So, and let me tell you why we're going to structure it that way, is that if we created a new note for the entire amount, so if we're offering 1.1 minus 80,000, that's 1,020,000, right? So now if we offered 4%, 4.5%, 4.25%, our payment's going up, right?
Right.
Because our balance is higher.
Yeah.
If we offer a lower interest rate, do you think that the seller may not be that happy with, yeah, you know, I'm paying 4.5% and you're offering me 4%? It could be a bit of an issue.
A conflict.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you couldn't do it. You could, and we could actually look at what that would look like as well, but I thought, let's look at a different way to structure for this, okay?
Okay.
So keep in mind, you could do just one note and wrap it and create a whole new note, include the seller's equity. In this case, so we have a second for $120,000 to the seller. The reason that I wanted to structure this is I already think the payment's high. And when I say high, not high really compared for this value of a home, but just in general, it's a pretty high payment. Do I want to start getting into the, you know, $4,900, $5,000, $5,500 a month payment? No, I want to keep the payment low. That could be something that could be a selling point that we could use.
Right.
Okay. So the way we're going to structure this second mortgage is going to be just deferred everything. So no payments, no interest. And you're going to get paid out when the new buyer refis or sells the property. So whatever term that we work out. So we're going to go in with, you know, at least a 3-year term and perhaps maybe 3 to 5 year term.
Okay.
Because think about this, someone that's buying this kind of house, they usually have some cash, right? I mean,
yeah.
If they don't have any cash, this isn't going to work. So, yeah. Because we're going to need them to come to the table with a minimum of 10% down. And in these types of homes, it's not uncommon for someone to have 15, 20, 25% down.
Right.
So we want, they may not need a very long term. Maybe they want a longer term. So we're going to structure it just like we would anything else, that give them some time. 3 years is kind of the minimum. 5 years, 7 years might be better. But remember, we're making the seller wait for a portion of their equity. So we don't want to, you know,
wait too long.
Right. We don't want to create a really long note.
Okay.
Okay. So by the way, do people that have these types of homes that, you know, they don't sell super quick?
No, they don't.
Can these create a financial burden?
Absolutely.
I mean,
really
even though
quick.
They, you know, they're living in $1.5 million home.
Yeah, real
I
fast.
I mean, if you know, a $4,500 a month payment plus taxes, I mean, you're around $5,000+ a month just for the mortgage payment, you know, utility costs, all that kind of stuff. this can start adding up kind of quick.
Right.
You know, if you were self-employed and your business is going through a lull or something, it's like, I don't know if I need a $5,000+ expense right now.
Yeah, exactly. And houses like this take a while to sell on the market, even in, you know, excellent condition, because you're looking for a specific buyer, and the buyer pool is very small on the high end of things.
Well, unless you're in like the Bay Area or LA or New York, where these are probably low end type properties.
Right.
But in most of the markets across the country, as you start getting into $1 million, $1.5 million, two. And by the way, we could do this on a $2 million, $2.5 million. Really what you want to do is not get too crazy, because if your market is, hey, you have $1 million to $2.5 million homes, and now you contract to do one for $4.5 million, it might take a year. It might take longer than a year. You're looking for that specific buyer rather than a group of buyers. So you'll want to look at, and the way that we're going to structure this, there's going to be no risk. So it doesn't matter, but at the same time, you don't want to do a bunch of work and spend a bunch of time if there's not really a lot of potential to get paid.
So on this deal, we're just to clarify, we're looking for a owner-occupant, that someone's that's going to buy it.
I don't think we're selling this to an investor.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So you want to work through some numbers and see why this might be worth your while?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Okay, so... Well, first of all, let's talk about how we're going to structure this to the seller so that we're taking the risk away from us. So under no circumstances am I going to the seller and say, here's an $80,000 check. I will buy your house, and then I'll go try to figure out if I can find that buyer. And I'll obligate myself to that $4,560 a month payment.
Right.
Not a chance ever.
Right.
Okay. What I would say is that, look, this is what we can try. We're good at creating interest in properties. We're going to offer it in such a way that may attract some different kinds of buyers. Give me some time to do it. And I would tell them, normally I can do something like this in 30 days, but since it's a higher end property, I'd probably want 90.
Yeah.
And if at any point in time that, you know, this isn't working for you anymore, let me know and I'll be done.
Yeah.
But don't you want me trying to do everything I can to go find that buyer? And all we really have to decide is, do these terms work for you? And I would let them know as well that sometimes I find buyers that the terms kind of change. So maybe they come with $300,000 down and I can pay out your equity.
Right.
So... it's not a hard sell. Now, you've got to be careful, and I'm not going to go into this, but all across the country, if you're a wholesaler, and that's what you would be doing in this case, where you are actually brokering a deal and you are putting a seller and a buyer together, there are ways to protect yourself. You have to be aware of them, because if you're not and the Division of Real Estate gets involved, you're pretty much acting as a broker without a license. Even if you have a license, there's some different ways that you need to protect yourself. So,
right.
Okay. But let's see why you might want to do this. So, what do you think we could sell this property for?
1.2. 1.3. You said ARV is 1.5.
5. Yep. So, I would tell you that you have a range. So you could probably start as low as 1.3, 1.25 even. I don't know why you would go that low, but you could.
1.3 then.
You could go 1.6, maybe 1.7 even, depending on, you know, how nice the house is. And I think one of the other things that it'll depend on is... what has been done already marketing-wise on this property? So if it's been all over the place, then it's already got kind of a stigma with it. And we don't want to go in and, you know, So it's been all over the place, online, on the MLS, whatever, for 1.2, and here we are at 1.65.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That might be kind of a stretch. So
yeah,
we want to know a little bit about what's gone on marketing-wise.
Okay.
But if we start too high, we can always come back and market it as, hey, just dropped $100,000 or something like that. So we don't want to start too low. So I just picked 1.4, and in my opinion, still below market value, which you might be leaving money on the table here, but let's take it as a conservative type of deal.
Okay.
Okay? So on this type of house, I'd expect at least a minimum of a down payment of how much?
10%.
At least, right? 140.
Yeah. Yep.
To be honest, I'd probably shoot for more like 200, 250 even. But let's we're looking at this like we're open to whatever, right?
Yeah.
So let's say we get $140,000 at $1.4 million purchase price. What kind of interest should we charge?
5%.
We certainly could, right? I mean, that's within reason. I'm going to take 4%. So better than you can go get at the bank right now.
Okay.
Amortized over 30 years. And let's look at it in two ways, 4% and 4.5%.
Okay.
Okay. So why don't you figure this out as we're going along, Jonathan? So we have a $1.4 million purchase price with a down payment of 140.
Yeah. So that leaves us $1,260,000.
Correct. Principal balance. At 4%, amortized over 30 years.
4%, 30 years. So our payment would be $6,015.43.
Okay, now put in 4.5%.
4.5. $6,384.
Okay, now I want you to figure out on that one, what's a five-year balloon payment going to be?
So... So that's 60 months. $1,148,590.
Okay, so that must have been the...
Is that what you got?
I think I figured out the balloon on a 3 and a 5, but I don't think I did both interest rates.
So 5, yeah.
So, all right. So let's just take... Let's recalculate this. So let's do it on the 4%.
Okay.
Okay. So
4%. And then
what's a 3-year balloon?
3-year balloon would be $1,190,684.
Okay. And then do a 5-year balloon.
5-year. $1,139,638.
Yeah, maybe I did 1 and 1. Okay. Doesn't really matter. There's going to be a range, okay?
Okay.
So depending on whether it's a 3-year, 5-year, 4.5% interest rate, okay? What I really want you to get is, one, how to figure this out, and two, what it's going to mean, okay? I mean, why you would want to look into doing something like this. Okay, so we have a couple of different options here. One is that we could just wholesale it or arbitrage it. And we've talked about that exit strategy a number of different times where we're just going to pass on the rest of the terms and we're going to up the price a bit and we're going to get the higher down payment and that's how we're going to get paid.
Yeah, but in this one, you might want to stay in the middle because you can collect on the back end as well.
Yep.
And
yep, so we're going to talk about that. But we could just take the $60,000 that we get up front from the down and up the price by $60,000 and be done and have a nice fee, right? I mean, that's not too bad.
That's a good deal.
And what happens if they end up bringing $200,000 or, $200,000?
We put more money in our pocket.
Yeah, you make $120,000.
Yeah.
Okay? But sometimes you want to stay in the middle. And when I say stay in the middle, you've created terms with the buyer, or the seller, I'm sorry. And now you've created new terms with the buyer, and it makes sense to collect the payments in the middle, the cash flow.
Yep.
And to be in the middle when the balloon comes due, because there's going to be some equity that you can pick up there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what that'll be. And my numbers are going to be a little bit screwed up because I'm not sure. I only tried to do this at 12:30 last night, and I was tired. So, but you'll get an idea. If the numbers aren't exactly right, you'll just get an idea of the kind of...
They're going to be pretty close. Yeah, and you guys out there can run them for yourself. And
really, what I was trying to do is give you two different scenarios based on 4 and 4.5% interest and 3-year, 5-year. And now my numbers are a little bit... I'm not sure what's what.
Okay.
So, all right. So if we stay in the middle, we're going to collect that $60,000 difference. So we pay $80,000 to the seller. We got $140,000 from the buyer. We get $60,000. That's right. Ours up front. Now, we're going to have a cash flow. And that cash flow is going to range from, let's say, $1,455 a month to $1,824 a month, depending on the interest rate that you charge your buyer. If you times that by, let's say, 36, you're going to make $52,380 to $65,664
over the 3 years. Right. Okay. Staying in the middle.
Okay. So already it's been, I mean, super good, right? I mean, you made a bunch of money. I don't know about anyone, but if you can make
$60,000 up front,
and you can make $1,400 to $1,800 a month cash flow on a house you don't own, not too bad.
Yeah.
Okay. But here's where it gets cool. So now the balloon payments come due. And so let's figure out what is the balloon payment that we offered the seller.
Okay.
So keep this in mind, though. Since we structured two notes, right? So the balloon payment on the first note is basically whatever the remaining, you know, underlying loan is going to be, right? Because it's identical.
Okay.
So we don't know exactly, because we're not sure exactly how long into this loan we already are. Because keep in mind, if you create a new note, the first payment, the second, the third, the first number of the newer the loan, the more money that's going toward interest, the less that's going toward principal.
Up front, right? Yeah.
As you get further along into the loan, the more of the payment is going toward principal. So this wouldn't be exact unless we got a hold of either her note, his or her note, or we got online and we could look at, you know, the amortization schedule. But quick and easy, let's just take it as if it was a brand new note.
Okay.
So we're going to, again, take the $900,000 that's owed on the underlying note.
Okay.
4.5% interest. $4,560 payment, negative. Add that in as a negative. Amortized over 30 years.
It was 4.5%, you said?
Yep.
30 years, calculate.
Yep.
So I got a payment of $4,560.
Yes. Okay, now let's figure out the balloon payment in 3 years.
Okay. I got $854,411.
Right. So, but we have another note.
Okay.
And it's not being paid down.
Okay.
So we just need to add that to this.
Okay.
Okay, so we still owe the seller $120,000. So you would take the $854,411, the balloon payment, plus the $120,000.
We got $974,411.
That is correct. Okay. So now let's look at what would be the balloon payment from our buyer. So let's take 1.26, right?
0.26,
because that's
going
to be the principal balance. Yep. Let's take
4%.
30 years.
30 years. Okay.
Now we got to solve for payment.
So I get $6,015.
Right. And
payment.
Now let's put in 36 months for N. Okay. That's the balloon payment, and we're going to solve for future value.
I got 1,190,000.
Yep,
680. Yep.
Three or four.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got four.
Okay. So we would minus. We would take that number and minus the 974, 411. What does that get us?
1 second. $216,273.
Yep. And obviously at the 4.5%, it would be even more.
Yeah.
So your profit, if you add in the down payment, the monthly payments, and the difference in balloon payments, is going to be $328,652 over the course of 3 years.
That's huge.
And that's on the low end. So
you could live off just that one deal.
Yeah. So first of all, let me preface this by saying, is this going to work on every deal that you possibly find, you know, for $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million?
No.
But wouldn't it make some sense that if I could go get 3, 4, 5, 6 of these all under contract with terms, with the seller understanding that you're not the buyer, you doing some marketing, you have 3, 4, 5, 6 different homes to show people. You think if you hit one of these a year, two of these a year, I mean, this is life-changing money to people.
Yeah, you only, one of those a year would make me pretty happy.
Yeah, so.
Especially with those kind of paydays at the back end and the cash flow.
The cash flow is huge.
The cash flow is huge.
I mean, you don't see that kind of cash flow on
anything.
It's a sixplex.
Yeah.
So it's not bad. And let's talk about what your risk is.
Zero.
There's none. I mean, what if the market crashed and your buyer's like, I'm out, you know, keep my money. I can't afford this payment anymore.
Give it back to the seller.
You could. Yep. So you're not signing any notes. You're not
putting your name on anything.
You're not making any you're not. Yeah, you're not putting yourself in a position where, you know, someone's going to come after you.
Yeah.
So, and worst case scenario for the seller is, hey, they're right back in the same position that they were in.
But they got more money.
Yeah, they got a bunch of money, right?
Yep.
And they got the pay down of the loan over the course of the time.
And some debt relief.
So is it ideal? No, but there's certainly worse situations they could have been put in.
Right.
Yeah. So something could, if you want to dabble in some higher price ranged homes, this is probably the way that you'd want to do it.
Yep, and let us know. We'd be glad to help you with deals like this.
There you go.
That's awesome. Great example. Great example. I love that. Man, that's huge. Cool. All right, guys. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. And we want to hear from you guys out there. We want to know what you want to listen to on this podcast when it comes to creative financing. So we got a hotline set up. It's 877-409-8090. That's our hotline. Again, 877-409-8090. You can leave questions there, comments there. It just goes to a voicemail. But let us know who you are, what market you're in, and what you're looking to learn on this podcast, or if you have a deal or a scenario, we might make an episode out of it. You can also reach us on the website, www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com, and we now have a Facebook page. It's the Creative Financing Podcast on Facebook. So,
and an Instagram account.
Yes.
Yeah. We're still
Creative Financing Podcast. If you just look up Creative Financing Podcast, you should find us on Insta. So check them out, guys. And until next time, create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.